Hello, America, and to all of our listeners all over the world, you're listening to yet another exciting edition of Let's Weekend. I'm your host and most, Brandon Perkins. Joining me, as always, is Chris Logie, and joining us after some time is Teresa Salmon. Say hi to the good people, everybody.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah. So this is for January 10th, 2026. We are 10 days into 2026, and... this year sucks. I want a new one. Can we have like a do-over?
Yeah, mulligan.
A mulligan, you know. Because not only have we already started what may or may not be a war in South America, we also had an ICE agent commit cold-blooded murder on an innocent woman. And we'll be getting to all that. Because it's worth talking about, and it's fucking infuriating, especially how everybody tried to slander this woman after it happened. But, of course, we've also got some other political news. We got some entertainment-related stuff. And, of course, a couple of trailers to discuss as well. We got all that and more on this week's edition of Let's Weekend. So... with that, let's start, as is tradition, we'll talk about all the stuff we've been doing up to this point this week. And as also as tradition, we start with Chris. Chris, what have you been doing this week?
Yeah, been busy with work and all that, but I managed to enjoy some... We had some decent... yesterday, it got into about 60, 61, something like that. Now it's back down, as we're about to get some snow tomorrow, I think.
Yeah.
So that'll be fun. But yeah, that is, let's see, I've been watching some stuff. I decided to watch the original Terminator that I never have seen.
Yeah.
And it's really good.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's, I don't know, it was interesting to watch, especially having seen, you know, most of the other Terminators besides it. So it was, you know, kind of an interesting kind of role reversal as... you know, people that watched know the Arnold Terminator is the good guy there. Whereas here he's like the unstoppable killing machine. Kind of similar to Terminator 2. Kind of goes on this whole big thing trying to take out Sarah Connor. Only to get, you know, slowly whittled down. But it's kind of more of a, maybe more of a horror thing here because it's, you know, really not much stopping him from... getting whatever he wants. Even the cops, that's when she's in the police station, unable to do anything. Especially when he just drives his car building and takes out them and just starts whittling them all down really easily. Yeah, what kind of fucking idiots are these? But yeah, it's a good movie. I finally see that. I decided to start watching the Batman movies. Really, because I did not really realize until like rewatching these that these are also the same franchise, the same, like, you know, these are all sequels to one another from the Batman 89 to Batman and Robin.
Yep.
But I think only like one character that is the same, which is Alfred.
Yep.
Maybe Gordon's the same. I don't know. But Alfred's pretty much the one actor that's in all of them. Batman, very good. Batman Returns, not as good, but I can definitely see why the toys were not as good as the because it's, you know, the Penguin is not a good looking character for a toy. Selina Kyle, Catwoman, is, but
yeah,
The vibes around that whole movie is very weird in a way that I can see, like, yeah, this isn't a kid's movie in any way. Not that the, but yeah, it's a very weird movie. And it, from what I read, basically they were like, yeah, we're done with Tim Burton because the toys sucked. Did not sell what they were expecting. And then they said, what if we get, you know, Joel Schumacher for this next one and make it more kid friendly, more campy, I guess, and ended up with Batman Forever, with a pretty good Batman with Val Kilmer. But he, you know, noped out after that movie. and George Clooney takes over. And that's sort of the campiest of all of these, with Batman and Robin, where Arnold is, you know, doing his thing. But boy, this movie is trying to shove so many villains in. It's Mr. Freeze, there's Poison Ivy, and then Bane is sort of a monster that Poison Ivy, I guess, takes care of.
Mm-hmm.
That's like her whole thing.
Yep.
And that's kind of weird. And then they bring in Batgirl, essentially, with Alicia Silverstone.
Mm-hmm.
Who I think was in Batman Forever, but a character,
mm-hmm.
really. But yeah, it's weird what the names they were able to get for all of these different characters. Because, you know, you get Tommy Lee Jones, who I feel like Batman Forever is his only, like, campy role.
Mm-hmm.
Jokey role. He's generally a pretty, he's generally the straight man for the most part. He's never really a jokey character, but here he gets to kind of let his hair down for a bit and be that kind of role. Jim Carrey's pretty good as the Riddler, doing pretty much everything that he did in, you know, Mask and all that.
And so, pretty much all the other movies he'd been in up to that point.
Yeah. I feel like The Mask is very much him and all that.
Well, The Mask and a little bit of Ace Ventura as well.
And that's a weird whole thing, but that's a big name to get in like 95 for that movie. And then it just failed. And then Batman and Robin, even more of a failure.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes sense why they would go to Christopher Nolan to kind of make the gritty Batman again.
Yeah.
That's basically their only big success was the original Batman movie.
Mm-hmm.
To which they tried to claim did not make any money because screw people over on was like, there's no way that movie didn't make money on any of that. But yeah, those are kind of fun to check. It was certainly like it gets worse with you in a way that you're like, Jesus, this is, boy, we had bad Batmans in the 90s.
Oh yeah.
So that was a fun whole thing.
I mean, there was like by the late 90s, the Batman franchise name, if it wasn't animated, was kind of just a joke.
Yeah.
You know, it had become too cartoony, too kitschy, and, you know, it'd take Christopher Nolan to give the grit back to it.
Yeah, and build up, you know, better suits that weren't just these rubber.
Yeah.
Because you can see that in, like, the original movie where it's like, this looks pretty good, but also you can tell that Michael Keaton has to fight this suit to do anything.
Yeah, if you ever, anybody who ever gets a chance, if you do want to watch Batman and Robin, watch it with the director's commentary from Joel Schumacher. He literally spends the entire thing going, guys, I am so sorry I did this.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry I made this decision. What the hell was I thinking?
It's a real weird movie. Especially when it's like, oh, you put nipples on the suit for no reason.
Yeah. Yeah, he's like, yeah, that was a really stupid decision on my part.
Needs to know.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's been pretty much what I've been watching, just a bunch of older stuff. I did play some things like American Truck Simulator. I finished up the holiday event, the Winterland event, and that was really nice to finish up. That area is really fun to drive around in. More traffic and more people around that are gives a little bit more life to it, which is good to see. And let's see, been playing some more Rocket League, finished up challenges I had for their holiday event. Didn't get everything, but I'm not really too broken up on really
anything.
But got everything else that I wanted. And then I was getting an itch for some Fallout stuff, and I decided to jump back into Fallout 76.
Yeah.
Not really for anything in particular, but I've been just going around doing some quests and such, because they have a couple of places you can go to for some extended stuff. The pit is the thing you can go to now, and they have the thing with the ghoul from the show that is in this that's let you go to, I think, Ohio to do some bonus stuff there. But I'm not doing any of that stuff just yet because I want to get to, I think it's level 50 is sort of the point where they evolve you into the, what they call, like, legend, where you hit the quote-unquote level cap and get to do more things, I guess. But right now I'm 36, so I'm not too close to that. But I'm making my way around the map and doing a bunch of stuff. That was fun jumping back in. Forgetting that I had, or it had automatically had a bunch of missions followed, so that I was looking at a huge screen full of text of missions to look at. So much so, one of the missions had long enough text that it was literally covering up the text for any items I was looking at, trying to figure out if I was going to pick it up. I was like, this is very stupid. So yeah, that was my time in Fallout 76. I'm still playing it. But the nice thing about that game is if you have too long of a session with it, it'll eventually crash. It gets you out of there before you waste too much. But yeah, that's been pretty much what I've been doing. So how about you, Teresa?
Yeah, Teresa, what about you?
I've been playing some stuff. I played a little bit of Blueprints, and I need to get back to it. I got a bunch of stuff during the Steam sale, and I haven't done justice to, like, any of it yet. But that means that I got a pretty good 2026 stacked up. So I've been still trying to get every achievement in Bellatros. I've been playing a good bit of that. But most of the time in the past week, I have been watching the news, finding the news. I was watching Minneapolis's live feed over the air from their I think it's KCare, something like that. Their local NBC affiliate. Been watching a lot of news straight from the over the air feeds from Canada, and just kind of taking a look to see what other people are talking about. Versus what gets filtered to us. And when it gets too much to watch, because it is, it really is. It's been a shitty week. Like, there's no other way to put it. It's just been a shitty week. I've been distracting myself with random episodes of Nova on the PBS app, and some movies. The only one I can remember is the third Mummy movie. We watched that one. Well, not really we. It was pretty much just me. And everybody just came in and out of the living room and caught bits and pieces of it. But yeah, just trying to have a little brain turn off time. And I've been reading through the Dresden Files. So I am... I'm enjoying that. And I read some of it, but a lot of it I'm listening to, because the actor who played Spike in Buffy the Vampire Slayer, he's the one narrating the version that I'm listening to. So it was a little amusing when the vampires came into it, and I'm like, God, his name is escaping me, which is ridiculous. Yeah, this season I learned that he actually has a U.S. Accent. Mm-hmm. He was faking it for Buffy. but that's really, really about it. Just trying to make sense of this crazy world around us. But what have you been doing, Brandon?
Well, first I have to ask you this, because it's basically something I have to ask you. Have you watched the rest of season two of Has-Been?
No! Oh my god! What? I remembered that like 2 weeks ago. Okay, I'm getting a piece of paper. I'm writing it down.
Yeah.
We're at that point in life. I gotta write this stuff down. Because I sit there like, what do I want to watch? Now I know what I'm gonna watch.
Yeah. Yes, okay. Yes. Yeah. But, yeah. Okay. So, as for me, I have been playing, well... Sort of a quick sort of bit of a recap. I got a Switch 2 and a PSVR 2 for Christmas this year. And I still haven't hooked up the PSVR 2. It's still in the box. But I did hook up Switch 2. which came with was it was the one that came with the bundle for Mario Kart World. Of course, it wasn't an actual physical copy; it was a digital download. But yeah, and I've mostly over the last couple of weeks I've been playing Splatoon 3, mostly because one, it had been a while since I'd played that, and I wanted to get back to it because I never got to finish the campaign. Also, because my Joy-Cons on my original Switch had started experiencing some severe Joy-Con drift, and I never got around to replacing them. So I got a Switch 2, means the controllers are completely fine. I don't have any drift or anything, so I got back to playing it. And I also got back to playing online play for Splatoon 3. And for those who don't know, I played a lot of online Splatoon 2 back then. And I also played a bit of a Splatoon 3 online as well, and I'm terrible at it.
Oh
But if there's one thing I've come to realize about Splatoon 3, it's that it is very, very unbalanced, and that's just like a part of the game. But currently, Splatoon 3 is in the middle of another Splatfest. So since yesterday, I've been doing Splatfest related stuff, which is, all Turf War related. Yeah, like I said, it usually a lot of times is sort of a toss up because, like I said, the game is super unbalanced, and you can either get a really good team or you can get a terrible team. And neither the twain shall meet. It's a real coin toss. Still very, very enjoyable. I still love it. But other than that, I also started playing Mortal Kombat 1. Not the original Mortal Kombat 1, the most recent Mortal Kombat 1. The one that's basically like a giant do-over. It's basically, this is what happens at the end of the last Mortal Kombat game, Mortal Kombat, I think 11, where Liu Kang sort of becomes the new god of Earthrealm, and he's now and Raiden becomes, as a human now. And basically, what Liu Kang did is he basically went back, redid the whole universe, and essentially did it in a way where he tries to give essentially everyone sort of what they want, more or less. For example, Melina isn't just like a clone or like a or anything of Kitana. She is actually Kitana's sister. And Empress Sindel is, like I said, she is Empress now. She never had to deal with Shao Kahn, her husband. She's still married to Gerard, or was, because he was assassinated. Shao Kahn is now just General Shao, and unlike the original Shao Kahn, he actually is a fairly competent and fairly loyal general in Outworld, in Outworld's army. Outworld itself is much closer looking to what Edania looked like, where it's all plush and green instead of, the chaotic looking mishap that it was in the original era. Basically stuff like that. And a lot of the fun of this game is like seeing all the various ways that Liu Kang changed stuff. So to try to give, at the one hand, give everyone sort of what they wanted, but also try to make them better people. By, essentially giving them like various challenges that in their life to approach so that they are not, they actually have to work for stuff. So basically, because he's not Raiden and is like was once a human, he's a bit better at the whole Elder God thing than Raiden was. But it's Mortal Kombat. It's exactly what you think it's gonna be. There's really nothing more else to say. But other than that, just books, usual reading, nothing new there. And as an update for my mom, because as I mentioned last week, she's been in the hospital. She is essentially not really sick anymore. They managed to find, or at least they think they found, where the infection was coming from that they had been having problems trying to find. They found it in the lower end of one of her lungs where it was still producing the bacteria. They managed to go ahead and deal with that. She is being moved into a regular room early next week, probably around Monday or Tuesday. She's conscious. She's breathing mostly on her own now. She tries to speak, but she can't really talk above a whisper, mostly because she's had all that crap down her throat, and it just kind of wrecks your esophagus while it's down there. Probably by the summertime, she'll be back to what she originally was, but it's going to take a little... The road to recovery is going to take a little while. But anyway, it was kind of touch and go for a little bit, but it's not really a... It's more just a, we're on the road to recovery now. It's going to take a little time to get her to heal completely. But she is more or less not sick anymore. So I don't know when we're going to be able to get her. We're going to be able to have her come home yet. Maybe at the end of next week. I don't know yet. It's really going to depend. We're going to have this lady who... we have the house over at the lake that my grandma used to have and we inherited from her, who we have a lady who goes over there every couple of weeks to clean it and make sure it's, running well and everything. And we're going to have her come here, to our house and do a deep clean before my mom gets back so we can, focus on what she is going to need going forward. But, yeah, that's basically about it for that. So with that, anybody want to add anything before we move on? Chris, Teresa?
Just really glad your mom is on the mend.
Yeah. All right then, with that, it is now time for everybody's favorite part of the show, Brandon's Random Factoid. And this week I'm going to kind of continue in the vein of what I did last week. Last week I decided we were going to do a little bit on some obscure, weirdo fighting games that were kind of shit. Because I think that's kind of in Smash Pad's wheelhouse. And, if you grew up in the 90s like I did, there was just no end to all the shitty fighting games that came out. Last week, we talked about Balls 3D, which was a game that was put out by, I have completely forgotten, PF Magic, who later became famous for the Pets franchise. This was their first video game project. And basically, it was a sort of 2.5D fighting game where all of the characters were made up of spheres, arranged into vaguely humanoid shapes. And it was very unusual at the time because it basically was the first 3D fighting game that you could get on the old 16-bit consoles. It also had probably one of the worst soundtracks in the history of video games. The best way I can describe it is someone trying to make mid-90s house music by using a shitty Casio keyboard for like a terrible video porno movie. But the next game we're going to be talking about this week is a game that actually has to do with my special interest old school developer, which is Data East. And specifically, it was a fighting game that was made by their pinball division, Data East Pinball. Now, technically, this game never actually got released officially. It was originally supposed to come out in the mid-90s. There were some prototypes that were test marketed in 94, but by the whole project kind of petered out into non-existence because of all the weird shit that was happening with the Data East pinball division at that time period and Data East as a company in general. And there is a playable version of it that you can find online that gets shared around, but it's basically a like a beta version of the game that still obviously had some work that needed to be done. The game we'll be talking about is a game called Tattoo Assassins, and this game has sort of become infamous in the fighting game world as just one of the worst fighting games that has ever been produced. Last year, there was plans announced by XA Arcadia to revive with bug fixes and 4K resolution under a deal with the current rights holders for Data East stuff, which I think is Gmode. But, you know, that's, nobody has heard anything about that since. But basically, here was the game. Tattoo Assassins. Okay, so Tattoo Assassins was one of those bunches of games that was trying to ride the coattails of Mortal Kombat. It was a digitized fighter that was loaded with blood and gore. But as it happened with all the Mortal Kombat imitators, it basically just never really caught on. And there's just a pile of Mortal Kombat imitators that suffered the same fate. Everything from Show No Mercy, Way of the Warrior, Weapon Lord, you know, all of those various games. That cheesy Jackie Chan fighting game that came out a long time ago. All of those games, you know, all of them fell by the wayside. And the reason is because they were trying to mimic the spectacle of Mortal Kombat, but they didn't really get, like, what made Mortal Kombat itself actually fun. Because as in modern parlance, considered to, like, what modern fighting games, especially modern Mortal Kombat games are, the older Mortal Kombat games are a bit cruder and simpler, but they still were really well playtested, and they felt good to play. Games like Tattoo Assassins did not feel good to play, or in Tattoo Assassins' case, it just was never really playtested effectively, so it was just way unbalanced, but we'll get to that. So, what is Tattoo Assassins about? Well, basically, in the world of Tattoo Assassins, there is this small little mystical group called the Order of Colors, led by this guy named Mulla Abba, who discover a substance called the Ink of Giza, which is like this ink-like fluid that can make tattoos that can then transform into other objects when applied to humans. Now, one of the members of the Order of Colors, a guy by the name of Kuldan, decides to use it for himself, and he takes over 9 people who have the tattoos applied to them. So, Mulla Abba, with the help of a woman known as Lila Blue, then has the player possess one of the 9 fighters to go against Kuldan. And just for the record, this is one of those fighting games where all the characters themselves are terrible people. Like, they're all just awful. They're all selfish, awful people who do selfish, awful things. And you basically have to brainwash and possess them in order to actually play the game. The gameplay itself is very standard. It's basically the exact same as Mortal Kombat was, where, you know, you have low punch, high punch, low kick, high kick, jump, block. You know, the standard joystick and 6 button set. There was one thing that made them somewhat unusual, in that there was an extra button where you could apply to you could stick like a regular special move attached to it, and if you press that button, that special move will happen. But the only problem is, this either makes the game too easy or too hard, and it's not entirely, people aren't entirely sure, because this part of the game is still kind of esoteric, but it's believed that you could only do this like 4 or 5 times per match. Then there's the other thing about this game that was notorious, which was the fact that the game advertises having about 2,196 different fatalities or finishing moves, although people who've played it have only really been able to find about 200, and some sources have only noted around 60. Now, basically, because there were so many of these, you could literally just mash buttons at the end of every match, and you'll have a finishing move, literally. Like, it's almost impossible to mess that part up, because there were so many programmed. You just mash buttons, boom, something happens. And the shit that happens is, like, ridiculous shit. We're talking everything from, farting fire to dropping like an arcade machine on them, making them turn into an egg that explodes and turns into a two-headed Barney the Dinosaur clone. All kinds of weird shit. There's even like references to like other Data East games, like Burger Time. One of the fatalities, you can literally have like the Burger Time burger fall on top of them piece by piece. also, one of the other things that would happen is the DeLorean from Back to the Future would also show up as a fatality. The reason being, because the game's characters and scenario were created by Bob Gale, the guy who was the screenwriter for the Back to the Future movies.
Nice.
Yeah. So, like, what kind of characters do we have in this game? Because there's a few of them, and it's basically, like, all of the worst examples of what you could call a mid-90s fighter. You know, you got the arrogant kung fu guy, you got the black guy, you've got the ambiguous Native American stereotype. You have two women who are both very scantily clad, one of whom is like an actual stripper, the other being this woman who like dresses up and pretends to be a panther with like tiger stripes painted on her very succulent thighs. There's like a guy who was like a former rock star, a guy who's like a nerdy cyborg type, all kinds. Oh yeah, and then there's the one that's basically Tonya Harding.
Okay.
No joke. Yeah, I mean, she's not called Tonya Harding, but it's obviously supposed to be Tonya Harding.
Oh my.
Yeah. It's literally a woman who's like the all-American girl with like the red hair. She's wearing and skating around on ice skates. She hits people with a crowbar. You get the idea.
Love it.
Oh yeah. And then of course there's the bosses, because again, there's got to be bosses, right? Well, there are four boss characters in this game. There's the first one, which is a character named Rhina, which is a muscular cyclops woman with a rhino horn. Okay. Then there's another character called DK, which is literally a zombie with like one of the worst looking, low budget zombie costumes that you could possibly create. And then there is a character called Prism, which is basically like the best way I can describe this is a skull that's encased in a vaguely humanoid shaped crystal thing. It only takes like four hits to actually beat them. And then finally there's the last boss, which is Kuldan himself. And Kuldan is a dude wearing like these really stupid looking shades, and he has these gloves on each hand that have like tattoo needles at the end of them. And of course, as is the classic tradition with Mortal Kombat like games, he is cheaper as all fucking hell and is damn near impossible to beat. Super fast, can basically predict your moves. He's, you know how it is. Like I said, because this game was never officially released, you can definitely tell that there's, like, issues here where they still needed time to, it still needed time in the oven, more or less. There's only one music track in the entire game that just plays on a loop as you're playing it. There are voice lines that are either missing or like start up at like, random times that they obviously aren't supposed to. The actual gameplay is, like I said, extremely unbalanced. It's one of those fighting games where you can basically just go buck wild and absolutely wreck someone in just the cheesiest way possible. If you remember, like basically uppercutting them constantly, like juggling them in the air so they never touch the ground, that kind of shit. is like everywhere in this game. There's also some of these like fatalities I talked about. They were like, they were never like completely finished created or like finished being programmed. One of the examples is, for those who don't remember, back in the 90s, you know, Mortal Kombat used to have like a bunch of rumors swirling around it. Like, you know, you could supposedly, in Mortal Kombat 2, you could supposedly do something to like feed one of your opponents to like one of the trees in the living forest, like that kind of thing. One of them was supposedly the quote unquote nudalities, where you would strip them of their clothes and they would like, you know, go like, ee, and, you know, cover themselves up. Well, nudalities actually are a thing in Tattoo Assassins. The only problem is that every so often, one of the character models, when they have a nudality done on them, they'll end up transforming into another character entirely. There's also the problem with the fact that some of the others, like, for example, there's this one really weird one where they apparently somehow managed to fart out like a turkey on a plate. And then that turkey starts multiplying and bouncing around the stage and knocking everyone around. And it's like, this thing was obviously meant to be something else, but it was never like finished, that kind of thing. But anyway, like I said, this game was originally developed by Data East Pinball Division. It was literally the first video game the Pinball Division ever worked on. It originated from a script that Bob Gale had written. Originally, it was going to begin development with like a $25,000 bonus, among other benefits, if the game could be finished on time. But the deadline was 9 months. So basically 9 months of crunching. 12-hour days, 7 days a week. And then in late 1994, when the development funds were running out, Sega swept in and bought Data East Pinball, including Tattoo Assassins, and they were the ones who eventually had the game canceled and most of its arcade machines destroyed. It was beta tested in some arcades before being canceled. Those versions that were beta tested, those are the ones that you'll usually find as ROM hacks online. And if you're like watching like a playthrough of it, that's the version you're going to see. Supposedly, and like I said, last year, XA Arcadia announced that they were going to be working with the right holders to try and bring the project back to life and actually finish it using the game's original source code. And that would include everything from bug fixes to brand new content, stuff like that. Anyway, as anybody who could tell you, by the time this game was towards the end, everybody knew this game, they were polishing a turd. Nobody could help but compare it to Mortal Kombat 2 at the time. It was like, Mortal Kombat 2, like, there are parts of it that haven't aged very well, but as far as, like, the original Mortal Kombat trilogy goes, it's probably the game that's aged the best of all of them. And even back then, you could compare it to Mortal Kombat 2, and it just did not add up. The animation was really choppy. The stages and stuff, like the stage graphics, were very fuzzy and pixely. The music, like I said, repetitive, because there was really only one or two tracks that played the whole time. The gameplay, extremely crude. The animations, poorly digitized. And the characters were all very derivative and lacking in any kind of real identity. It might very well be like among the worst games that Data East ever put out. And keep in mind, Data East definitely had some stinkers in their time. Now, whether it is actually the worst Mortal Kombat, clone is very... definitely up there, but the worst... Not quite. There are definitely some Mortal Kombat clones that are even worse. I may talk about one of them next week, but until then, that was Tattoo Assassins, and this has been yet another installment of Brandon's Random Factoid.
Nice.
Yeah. And I really do encourage anyone to watch a playthrough of that game on YouTube, because it is fucking insane. But anyway... with that, it is now time to move on to the show proper, and of course, with the show proper means we start off with our assholes of the week, and get ready, folks, because it's going to get dark this week. Because the one thing probably everyone has been talking about is that earlier this week, an ICE agent in Minneapolis, Minnesota named Jonathan Ross shot a woman named Renee Good in her car 3 times in the face for trying to drive away, turn around and drive away from the scene as had she had been instructed. The Trump administration and all of its lackeys, and of course ICE itself, have been trying to slander this woman as some sort of domestic terrorist or radical. It could not be further from the truth.
Yeah.
But yeah, take over, Chris.
Yeah. So yeah, Trump sent, I think, 2,000, at least 2,000 people to Minneapolis to, you know, conduct their operations there. Mm-hmm. That had, you know, tons of citizens on guard to, you know, try to obfuscate them, stop them, block them, protest them, whatever they were going to do. And it seemed like these two women, Renee Good and her wife, were hoping to at least drive through and see what was going on and see what they could do. Ended up getting caught up with a couple of agents in the road who, one of which asked them to, you know, get out of the way. And they were willing to do that.
And part of the issue we need to bring up is that they kept giving conflicting commands. One of them told her to get out of the way. The other seemed to say to get out of the car. You know,
yeah,
it just,
and one tried to grab the door handle as she was trying to drive out of the way.
Yeah.
And the one guy who was sitting off in his own area decided to start shooting. And then as, you know, the car kept moving and crashed into, I think, a pole. Because the woman had been killed and her foot was still on the gas.
Yep.
And her wife was, you know, yelling because she obviously would be scared and with what had happened. There's video of this and video of the guy recording himself doing this. And
yeah.
He kind of drops the phone as he's about to start shooting. Which people have taken that as though she was hitting him.
Which, if you've seen the other parts of other video, that's not at all the case.
Yeah, he was off to the side enough that any reasonable person would not take that as anything like that, but...
Yeah. Also, if he was an actual trained police officer, he would have known that you don't stand in front of a moving car.
Yeah.
They're not police officers. They're immigration officials.
Yep.
They're not supposed to be doing any of this.
Yep.
They're not here to arrest citizens to manage protests or do any of this.
Yeah.
That is not their jobs.
Mm-hmm.
But their jobs, as they think it is to do whatever they want with impunity.
Mm-hmm.
Which is certainly what Trump and Vance want to them to be doing. But, yeah. Everyone seems like this woman was on her third marriage. Divorced her original husband. They had a kid. Then her second husband was in the military and died. They had a kid, and then she had a kid with her current wife, who had moved from out of town. I forget exactly what. They had a 6-year-old kid at school. They believe they were driving back from, or, you know, had dropped them off, and now because of this asshole, the wife had to pick up the kid alone and explain why he was not going to see his. And especially, it seemed like after she had passed, the ICE or whoever just like pulled her out of the car like, you know, she was nothing. And treated her body like shit.
Yeah, they wouldn't let a doctor go and try to find a pulse. They blocked the freaking ambulances from being able to get through. Yeah, so they had to carry her out by her limbs like she was just a sack of nothing and not an actual, you know, human being.
No surprise there. They're trying to pull this shit because, you know, this is where George Floyd was killed by cops and all that. And they certainly went and did more things throughout the day as they had to shut down the schools. for at least an extra day because cops had come to some of the schools and roughed people up, kidnapped others, and thrown tear gas around. Caused so much chaos that superintendents had to be like, we're not doing this for another day, and then start setting up, you know, out of school learning stuff for the parents that wanted to do that and not risk having their kids in school to get potentially shot up by these people. And just more fucked up shit.
Yeah.
And you get Trump and Vance just trying to slander this woman, call her a domestic terrorist and all this, that she got what she deserved. And it's like, one, there's no anything that happened here that gives anybody the right to murder these people. She did not do anything worthy of being killed. But these people, Vance and Trump, have no ability to turn off their need to be political about everything. And so they end up just being that all the time and never being able to show that they give a damn about other people. So they always just look like assholes at all times.
Like you said, basically they have spent much of this week since then trying to slander this woman. And if there is any very small mite of good news, it's that basically nobody is falling for it. Even some of the usual suspects are calling this out.
Even the Catholic Church is calling this out.
Yes, Pope Leo himself is calling this out. And, yeah, it's... I mean, let's be perfectly honest. We knew as early as January that shit like this was going to happen eventually.
Yeah we knew.
And to be fair, it pretty sure already has happened at least once or twice this year.
Yes, it has. They killed like three people here in Chicago fucking alone.
The reason this is catching on is, one, it was all caught on video. Two, it happened to a... admittedly, very sweet, but still a white woman. And three, because the attempt at cover-up and justification is just very visibly bullshit.
And she was a citizen, just like the scores of citizens who have been arrested, roughed up, detained for weeks here. If, you know, sometimes hours, sometimes weeks, just you never effing know.
Yeah. And, it doesn't stop there, because the very next day, two more people were shot in a vehicle outside of a hospital over in Portland, Oregon, with ICE trying to claim they were Venezuelan gang members.
Yep.
Trying to claim they were, you know, Trende Aragua, which is their claim for everybody that isn't white. And yeah, they shot and wounded two people in a vehicle outside a hospital in Portland. Drew hundreds of protesters to the U.S. ICE building at night. The Attorney General vowed to investigate whether any federal official acted outside the scope of their lawful authority and refer criminal charges to the prosecutor's office if warranted. They said the vehicle's passenger was a Venezuelan illegal alien affiliated with the transnational Trende Aragua prostitution ring.
Again. He
was involved in a recent shooting in the city when agents identified themselves to the occupants during a quote-unquote targeted vehicle stop in the afternoon. Driver turned to run them over, the department said in a statement. Fearing for his life and safety, an agent fired a defensive shot. The driver drove off with the passenger, fleeing the scene. There's no immediate independent corroboration of the account or of any gang affiliation of the vehicle's occupants. But basically somebody called the police about this shooting, and they managed to find somebody that needed help a few miles away. That seemed to be the ones that they were likely the victims there.
Yeah.
And they found a man and woman with gunshot wounds, determined they were injured in the shooting with federal agents. The conditions were not immediately known, but they applied a tourniquet to one of them. Just more bullshit here. It's definitely not going to be the last of it.
No. There's some video that has come out from like right before they were shot. And then there's also video, I think, from New Hampshire, where a male ICE agent went into a porta potty with a female detainee. So more rapes.
Yeah.
Where are we? Are we in the bad place?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
This is the Gestapo doing what they're supposed to be doing.
Mm-hmm. And they're very quickly, you know, trying to ramp it all up because they probably kind of know that their days are numbered at this.
Well, I'm pretty sure Trump's days at least are numbered because he's an old sucker.
Oh, yeah.
I kind of wonder if they got like a, he's got stage four and now they're just going balls to the walls, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, so this is, yeah, obviously this is not going to be the end of either of these stories. It has already pissed off a very solid part of the American populace, especially in Minneapolis, where they started putting up barricades and shit. Not to mention over in Portland and pretty much all over the country. I'm not necessarily going to compare this to the shit that happened after George Floyd was killed, but it's getting close.
Mm-hmm.
It's the people that voted for Trump that thought they were getting rid of criminals and then realizing there's not that many of those people.
Yeah.
That the people they're going after, you know, kids, parents, normal people in their communities.
Also citizens.
Yeah.
A lot of those, too.
Mm-hmm.
But people going through veterans, the system even. The way that they're supposed to be going.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you want them to do the legal thing. That's what they're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they're doing what all paramilitary forces have done in the past. They're going after the low-hanging fruit. That's exactly what they're doing. They're going after the vulnerable. The people who are just trying to go to work or something, you know, and all of a sudden they get swarmed.
They have tracking equipment that they legally probably should not have.
Yeah.
Because apparently they can track people's phones. Pretty accurately.
In a way that's
like, this is the scariest shit. I'm sure they didn't get any help from anything that Doge did.
Speaking of whom, Elon Musk and X are both on the hot seat. Because they recently added a little feature to Grok where Grok can now directly, like, modify any image on request. And as you can imagine, as the absolute hive of scum and villainy that Twitter is, it's been used to edit and create sexualized images of both women and children without consent and very little pushback.
Yeah.
It's now getting so bad that there are various leaders in Europe who are threatening to outright ban the service unless, you know, they take steps to stop it.
Which they should do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Apple and Google should remove it from their storefronts. Yeah, it should be shut down in every country that gives a damn about child sexual material. This should not be okay.
No.
This is the stuff that is being used to sell AI to kids and families.
Mm-hmm.
There was literally stuff at CES being used with Grok. That was aimed at kids. Yeah. And it's like, you're upset about books, but you're okay with this shit?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This is the sort of thing that, and the fun thing is, I was like looking at some of this stuff, and I don't think you can do it, at least not super easily, during the direct image generation stuff, where you can click edit the image there. It's a lot of people responding to, like, women posting their photos or selfies or whatever and being like, take off her dress. And it's like, there's a physical trailer you can see of these people doing this stuff.
Yeah.
That is interesting to see.
Mm-hmm.
Elon's initial response to this stuff is legacy media lies.
Mm-hmm.
Which is like, yeah, that's the way to respond to this. They said they're going to sit here. Anyone using Grok to make illegal content will suffer the same consequences as if they upload illegal content, which is like, what, nothing?
Mm-hmm.
Tends to be what you do on any of that. They have a list of things that different EU countries are responding to on this and some of the others. Lawmakers have reported Grock connects to the Brazilian Federal Public Prosecutor's Office and all that. There's Malaysia, India, France, Poland, Britain, and the EU. So hopefully something gets done. And I'd say the easiest way is just to ban it until something is done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of them are trying to change, like, clothing they're wearing to, you know, micro bikinis and that kind of stuff. And cover them in water, things to make it look like, you know, all that kind of stuff. And one of the people that got caught in this is one of Elon's baby mamas. I forget what her name is. Ashley St. Clair, I think it is, the most recent one. Who had photos of her when she was 14 being changed to look like she, the blowjob emote kind of thing.
Yeah.
That's disgusting.
And she was calling that shit out. I'm probably not getting anywhere.
Yeah.
She still complains that she tries to get a, you know, hold of Elon and he won't respond to her.
Yeah.
So yeah, fun times.
Yeah, so that is a thing that is happening. It sucks. It's gross. And, like, a lot of the people on Twitter themselves are like, dude, this is awful. Why are you letting this shit happen? Yeah. And the answer also is...
get off of Twitter.
Yeah, also get off of Twitter. It's poison.
Yeah.
You know, go to Blue Sky. It's better. yeah, so that, all of that was our Assholes of the Week. It was all terrible, but fortunately, it's not all terrible. We do have one Hero of the Week, kind of, and it has to do with a very rare copy of Action Comics number 1 that sold for a record $15 million this week. So, quick little bit of history here. Action Comics number 1 was originally published back in June 1938. It's the comic that's most famous for introducing the world to Superman. And it's usually considered to be like the most expensive and most widely desired comic among collectors. Again, for a very obvious reason, because it's the first appearance of Superman. Now, the Action Comics, what came out at a time when comic books themselves were still... how can I put this? They were still, like, put out on, like, the cheapest paper available. They were not printed to be preserved. Sometimes the paper that was used to publish these comics was little better than the stuff you'd find in, like, a newspaper or in, like, one of the pulp magazines at the time period. At the time, comic books at this time were still very much anthology type stuff. So Action Comics number 1, most famously, everyone remembers it as the first comic to feature Superman. But Superman is like only in there for like the first 13 pages. There's a bunch of other stories that were put in Action Comics back in the day. Some of them you might have heard of. One of them was Zatara, which was eventually would become the, I believe, either the father or grandfather of Zatanna. There's also Tex Thompson, who was a cowboy superhero that would eventually become, he would have like some other times he'd be called Mr. America or the America Mando, that kind of thing. But there's also like a bunch of characters that no one would remember, like Chuck Dawson or Sticky Mitt Stimson, you know, stuff like that. There was also, weirdly enough, a text feature right in the middle that lasted for 2 pages called South Sea Strategy by a guy under the pen name of Captain Frank Thomas. No one's really sure who the writer actually is. It might be Jerry Siegel. But basically, because of the way that, like, taxes and, like, the mail worked at the time, if you wanted to avoid, like, additional costs, you had to try and find ways to have your comic book classify as a magazine. And the way that a lot of the, like, Golden Age comics got through this was they would have, like, a throwaway text feature in the middle of it. So they could say, hey, we got a part that's like an article or whatever in our publication, and that technically makes it a magazine. In fact, this is how Stan Lee actually got his start in comic books. His first published work was he wrote the text feature for the second issue of Captain America Comics. But yeah, like I said, Action Comics number one, famously super expensive. I think like the last big buy was one that was like over $3 million, and it was sold on eBay. But this time, we managed to get one that was $15 million.
Yeah, and this one has a really good story to it.
Yep.
Because this is a specific copy that was owned by Nick Cage.
Yep.
He bought this in 1996 for $150,000.
Mm-hmm.
But in 2000, it was stolen.
Yep.
And recovered only 11 years later. Mm-hmm. It was found by a man who had purchased the contents of an old storage locker in Southern California and had it returned back to Nick Cage. And 6 months after that, he sold it at an auction for $2.2 million,
mm-hmm.
Which is a great return on value.
Yep.
But yeah, then, you know, since then it's been sold for about seven times that, mm-hmm. For $15 million. And yeah, that is kind of a really interesting copy of this comic.
Yeah, so that's just really cool. And with that, it's now time to move on from the show proper to the proper show proper. And our first story for the night is that the Trump administration is officially taking the U.S. off of 66 international organizations because they just got a wild hair up their ass and decided to do that.
Well, because they want to further
isolate the country.
Us. Yeah. So yeah, a bunch of these are UN-related organizations.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to see, yeah, the UN Framework Convention on Climate Change, part of, you know, getting away from climate change organizations.
Yeah,
there's just a UN-related ones, some from the WHO,
mm-hmm.
and a bunch of others. So yeah, further showing how much contempt they have for the way the U.S. has generally tried to be a leader on the front, mm-hmm. of a lot of this stuff and try to use their standing for more positive stuff. We have a shit about injecting any positivity into the world order. In fact, literally, they've been saying in the wake of the Venezuela stuff that they want control of everything in our hemisphere.
Yeah.
Which is great.
Yeah, it's pretty bad, isn't it?
Yes. Yes, it is. It is very bad. Like I said earlier, they're doing all of this now because they very much know they're on borrowed time, and they're rushing as quick as they possibly can now because, well, time and everything else is working against them.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, so that is happening. And speaking of the Venezuela stuff, both Nicolas Maduro and his wife have both pled not guilty to all charges in their very first court appearance.
Yeah. Yeah, he said, I am innocent, I'm not guilty, I'm a decent man, the constitutional president of my country. I'm also saying he was captured. So yeah, fun times here.
Yeah. Keep in mind, and it needs to be reminded, just because they captured Maduro, that doesn't really mean anything in Venezuela has changed. His shitty political party is still in power over there.
Yeah, the Supreme Court basically put his VP in charge.
Mm-hmm.
He was more of a military man than he was, so that's fun for them.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, that shit is happening. And now for some actual good news. 17 GOP House representatives joined every single Democrat in the House to pass a bill to extend ACA subsidies for another 3 years.
Thank goodness. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Which basically means that if this ends up going through, and obviously Trump's going to try and veto that, like, you know he is, because his ego won't allow him to do otherwise. If they can do a veto-proof majority in the Senate, that basically means that we'll be having the ACA for basically the rest of his term as president.
Yeah. I don't know that that's going to happen. This is
that's
basically
the problem.
Passing it as a bill. And they went through the discharge petition, so that essentially gets around Mike Johnson, anything he wants to do here. So, yeah, this got passed on 230 to 196. It goes to the Senate, but the Senate seems to be working on their own version. of this. We'll see where this goes. But yeah, this is something that needs to happen, but everybody should be paying attention to which party is the one voting against this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
There's still 190 Republicans that voted against it. 196.
Yeah. So that happened. And now we have the news that RFK Jr. has the CDC's recommended vaccines list for children cut from 18 to 11.
Yeah. So yeah, this they're removing a flu, hepatitis A, hepatitis B, meningococcal disease, rotavirus, RSV, and COVID-19.
Yep.
Yeah, the ones staying the same, MMR, DTaP, polio, chickenpox, HPV. But I guess the guidance reduces the number of recommended doses from two or three shots to just one. HIB, PCV. So yeah, they're apparently going down to about what Denmark has.
Yeah.
But the difference is that Denmark has universal healthcare.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So they could deal with the consequences of having it, having any of those issues.
Yeah.
But it seems like a lot of states and local health organizations are going to keep the 18 recommended where it's at. I think New York especially was one that's said we're not changing for the time being. This, it just doesn't prevent you from being able to get any of this stuff, but yeah, if you are having a kid, definitely checking up on all of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I assume your doctor will probably recommend, but they want this to be like a thing with shared decision making.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's what RFK wants, so there you go.
Yeah. And then we also got the news this week that Dem House Representative Steny Hoyer will be retiring at the end of his term.
Yeah. How long do you think he's been in Congress?
He's been there for like a good 20, 30 years.
He's been there longer than we've been alive.
Yeah.
What?
1981.
Yeah.
We need term limits.
Yeah, we do. Very badly.
Yeah. He's been in, he's the longest serving Democrat in Congress. Was up for becoming the House Speaker at some point, but has decided he'll retire.
Yeah.
He's in Maryland, so could be easily replaced with another Democrat. It has been, you know, one of the more progressive Democrats in the House, but
yeah,
he also tried running for president a few times and never got anywhere with that. So
mm-hmm.
he should go retire like he should.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He's 86.
Yeah. 86 years old.
Good Lord.
Yeah. Don't just talk about term limits. I'm starting to think we might need age limits as well.
Yeah. I think you're right.
You usually get to one with the other.
Yeah. But on top of that, speaking of retirements, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz has dropped his bid for a third term. And this partly comes after the sort of bullshit about supposed daycare scandal shit that's been sort of floating around the ether.
I think he didn't want to have his candidacy, you know, tanked on that stuff.
Yeah.
Bullshit.
Yeah.
But yeah, so they're suggesting that Amy Klobuchar might step up and run for that, and it's like,
mm-hmm.
all right, have Tim Walz run for the Senate.
Sure, go ahead.
Yeah.
Let him do that for a few terms at least.
But yeah, so that is happening. And then in more news of petty bullshit, the National Park Service has decided that they're going to be voiding any passes that have stickers over Trump's face.
Yeah, because if you haven't seen, they have the picture here for the pass. The resident annual pass has George Washington and his face on it.
Mm-hmm.
Celebration for the 250th anniversary of the country.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to show how far things have fallen for that. But they've updated their policy in the last few days to discourage visitors from defacing a picture of President Trump on this year's, using a picture of him rather than the usual picture of nature, which they always have mm-hmm. had in the past. And people have sold, you know, stickers to it fit perfectly over his face, and all that yep. kind of stuff. But yeah, now that they've seen that people are doing this, fighting back and threatening to void their passes for doing that, which is funny. So yeah, if you're getting one of those, have fun with it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And now for some sad news. Baker and Taylor. If that is not a name you don't recognize, that's because they're kind of hiding in plain sight. They are one of the major distributors for print books to public libraries all over the country. They've been around for over 200 years. And they announced this week that they will be shutting down imminently.
Yeah. So yeah, this is sad news and has a lot of libraries, you know, in an even tougher position now.
Mm-hmm.
In the wake of everything else that's been going on.
Yep.
And yeah, so yeah, they played a key role in getting books from manufacturers to warehouses to library patrons' hands, partnering with more than 5,000 U.S. libraries.
Mm-hmm.
The company has been a staple in the industry, selling books at wholesale prices, providing them with labels and lamination so libraries don't have to.
Mm-hmm.
Which comes as a surprise, but not as a shock to many in the industry, as the company has faced several challenges in recent years, including a data breach in 2022 after the company was acquired by a private investment group in 2021.
Mm-hmm.
I put in what independent library consultants here called a weak financial position. So yeah, and they're talking about librarians have been hearing rumors of trouble at Baker and Taylor's planned merger with ReaderLink, a distributor to booksellers, fell through in late September, but many learned the first solid news of the closure from an employee's post on Reddit last fall. So yeah, and there's more here about sort of the work that Baker and Taylor did and sort of what they're going to have to do in the wake of this. Yeah, seems like a number of libraries had to stop ordering from them in October because they just stopped shipping. We have standing orders with them to get the new and popular titles from certain authors, but they haven't been shipping them to us.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, that's a thing that they have to figure out solutions to because, you know, been largely one company doing everything and saved everybody time and money on that stuff. So now they have to set up new accounts with other companies and figure out how to deal with all that.
Yep. So now libraries have another problem they have to deal with. Wonderful. And next up, Tesla has officially lost their title as the world's biggest electric vehicle maker as sales have continued to fall in 2025.
Yeah, they've lost it to their Chinese rival BYD.
Yeah.
Two people made sure to find video of Elon shit-talking them as a joke in the past. They delivered 1.64 million vehicles in 2025, down 9% from a year earlier. BYD sold 2.26 million vehicles last year and is now the biggest EV maker. Yeah, I believe you cannot get those vehicles here because they're Chinese. We've banned them.
Yeah.
But they do sell them in Europe and obviously China and other places. They tend to be a bit cheaper. But Tesla also has to suffer with Elon's or with Trump's bullshit because they expired the tax breaks for buying electric vehicles that happened last year. But yeah, there's the conundrum with all this. Let me see here where. For fourth quarter earnings coming out in late January, analysts are expecting the company to post a 3% drop in sales. Nearly 40% drop in earnings per share, according to FactSet. Analysts expect the downward trend in sales and profits to eventually reverse itself as 2026 rolls along. Elon said earlier last year that a major rebound in sales was underway, but investors were unruffled when that didn't pan out, choosing instead to focus on Musk's pivot to different parts of business. He has been saying the future of the company lies with its driverless robotaxi service, which has not manifested yet, its energy storage business, and building robots for the home and factory, which still has not happened yet, and much less with car sales. So they're keeping the vibes going in spite of all their actual business news not being. They're getting beaten to the robotaxi thing by Waymo and other companies. The robot thing is getting more progress from other companies only because people think
So yeah, that is happening. Tesla is basically getting screwed over, and it is much deserved. And sad news, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting officially shut down this week after 58 years due to Trump's tax cuts.
Yeah. Unfortunate. And they announced Monday that its board of directors voted to close the organization after 58 years.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than continue to exist and potentially be vulnerable to future political manipulation or misuse.
Yeah.
They were created by Congress in the Public Broadcasting Act of 1967
mm-hmm.
to support the federal government's investment in public broadcasting. The organization noted that the rescission of all the CBP's federal funding came after years of political attacks. It's a shame because they've done a lot of great work.
Mm-hmm.
It's well worth going and looking up your local PBS branch that you can subscribe to and get a bunch of cool video stuff from them. Mm-hmm. A lot of documentaries and such that they have there to help keep them going. Same for NPR and that kind of stuff. They all have different branches around the country. Well worth looking what local ones you have.
Mm-hmm.
And supporting them when you can.
Yep. Yeah. But, yeah. And from there, we're now moving on to the entertainment portion of the show. Our first entertainment story, Godzilla Minus Zero, will be coming to theaters in North America on November 6th, later this year.
Yep. Looking forward to that.
Mm-hmm.
It's 3 days after the Japanese release.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the closest I think we've gotten for Godzilla movies,
mm-hmm.
At least from
Japan.
So yeah, that's cool. The November 3rd release in Japan is an anniversary from the original Godzilla that opened in mm-hmm. 1954. So is why they're doing that. But yeah, they have the same director as Godzilla Minus Zero. So yeah, looking forward to seeing whenever they get a trailer out for this because this.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, Stranger Things 5. The Stranger Things finally had its series finale this week. It is already on Netflix's top 10 list of views for English language series.
Wow.
Yeah.
So yeah, that has been, not too surprising. It is number 9 right now.
Mm-hmm.
And this is their all-time list, which all-time means in the first 91 days of release.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think this is staggered since they released this in three parts.
Mm-hmm.
Volume 1 is... I think they have the dates here. Is it at? Volume 1 continues until February 24th. Volume 2's numbers continue until March 25th. And the finale will be until March 31st. But yeah, it's 9th with 105,700,000 views. Which puts it ahead of The Night Agent Season 1 at number 10. Bridgerton Season 3 is 8. Queen's Gambit is number 7. Bridgerton Season 1's number 6. The Jeffrey Dahmer series is number 5. Wednesday Season 2 is number 4. Stranger Things mm-hmm. 4 is number 3 at 140 million views. Adolescence is right above at 142 and... The top one is Wednesday Season 1 at 252 million views. So yeah, that is cool to see. It's going to definitely rise up a bit because there's still a few more weeks for the first part. Then about 2 more months for the other 2 parts. So got a ways to go for all that. And I'm trying to check what the non-English movies is. If I think K-pop is still these. Let's see, the top 10 movies overall. Yeah, it's still number mm-hmm. 2. 29 weeks in top 10 K-pop DVDs. The other one here with close to that high number is Dr. Seuss's The Grinch, the most mm-hmm. recent CG movie, so there you go on that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Cool news.
Yeah. And speaking of Netflix, they now have the WWE library of all past pay-per-views and other shows.
Yeah. So you can go look up there on the Netflix for WWE stuff, and you'll find most of the pay-per-views you would want to see.
Mm-hmm.
The back catalog of the The weekly show stuff is not all there. Mostly get a lot of the more recent last few years, and the rest of it's kind of sporadic. But at least the pay-per-view stuff, you can just watch like all the Royal Rumble stuff if you want, or WrestleManias or whatever. But otherwise, skip the new stuff they're putting up there, because the WWE sucks.
Oh yeah, yes they do. Now we also got a teaser for Avengers Doomsday, which, amongst other things, features the X-Men. Yeah.
Why?
Because they bought them.
Yeah.
So this teaser features Charles Xavier and Magneto kind of hanging out in whatever's left of the mansion.
Yep.
Playing chess.
God.
Then zooms off to wherever Cyclops is at, which it seems still seems to be James Marsden. But he has the comic outfit, the blue and yellow outfit. So, I don't know what they're doing with the old people here, because I assume at some point they're gonna have a new X-Men cast, but they're still dragging him along. I assume for nostalgia's sake, but especially Patrick Stewart and Ian McKellen are fucking old as hell.
Oh yeah,
I'm sure they're happy to do this stuff, but you can tell with the Kellen, that's probably as much as he can do at this point. He's 86 years old.
Yeah,
like let him rest.
Seriously,
let him rest and be gay. What he wants to do.
Yeah.
But hey, he's probably enjoys getting paid.
Yeah.
To sit around.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he's hurt himself in more recent appearances on X-Men stuff, so. We don't need him to do that if he doesn't need to.
Yeah, seriously. But, yeah, so we got that, and we also got an official trailer for The Death of Robin Hood.
Yeah, I don't know what the fuck is going on with this movie.
Yeah, it's supposed to be like a deconstruction of the Robin Hood mythos, I guess.
I've also seen people say this is Logan Hood.
Yeah. Basically, it's old man like, Logan if he was Robin Hood, which is like a pretty apt comparison, I think.
And like, I'll just stick with the Disney Robin Hood, the animated one. That's all.
Ooda Lolly. Yeah.
And the Carrie Elwes.
Oh goodness, yes. Those are the only two
that we need.
Because like, unlike other Robin Hoods, I speak with an English accent.
English accent. Which was basically a massive fuck you to, who Costner. Was it? Yeah, Kevin Costner. and that other Robin Hood movie that had apparently done really well, but because Costner couldn't speak with a British accent, it was very obvious. And also it had that really cheesy Bryan Adams song.
Oh my God, that freaking song.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do like this comedy. Robin Hood World Turn in Avengers Doomsday.
Ha 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 ha, funny. Yeah, and we also got an official trailer for The Wrecking Crew.
Yeah, finally, Nintendo's Wrecking Crew getting just treatment. No, this is the an Amazon Prime action movie featuring Jason Momoa and David Bautista. As two guys working for the cops who just seem to blow everything up, and their boss is Steven Root, so
yeah,
might have to check that out if you have Prime, just for that.
Yeah.
But also the Ned kid from the recent Spider-Man movies is also in this. He talks shit about them. So yeah, if you want a dumb action comedy movie, this seems to be a pretty good one of those. That'll be on there.
Yeah. And last but not least, we got a teaser trailer for Netflix's next original anime project, Cosmic Princess Kaguya.
Yeah, this looks pretty good. You can watch the trailer and never pick up on what it's about. Because the way they describe it here
is basically Iroha
Sakayori, a 17-year-old high school student in Tokyo, leads an extremely busy life trying to balance part-time work and academics. She finds peace by watching a popular streamer named Yachio Runami, who's the administrator of an online virtual space called Tsukuyomi. And she finds a baby that turns into a girl her age. that wants to help her become an idol in this virtual world.
Yeah.
And it's like,
so basically, like, let's take a bunch of tropes, put them at the wall, throw a few darts, see what sticks.
Yeah.
That's what it sounds like.
The nice thing is it looks like a really fun movie. It looks really good. And all that is just like, boy, you didn't need to go this way on the premise.
Yeah.
Make something fun.
Seriously.
Which, to be fair, seems to be what they're doing.
Oh, yeah.
This is directed by a guy who's done a bunch of the intros for a bunch of popular anime. Mm-hmm. He's getting his chance to make his own movie.
Yeah.
That seems to be what he's doing, and yeah, seems pretty cool. This will be...
Yeah, it looks nice.
When is this out? They have January 22nd, so a couple weeks away.
Yeah, a week after Nick. But yeah, with that... We officially have ourselves a show, folks. We officially have ourselves a show. So, if you got a question or comment or something you want us to read on the air, please do not hesitate to get in contact with us at letsweekenders@gmail.com. That's letsweekenders@gmail.com. We got a link for it in the show notes. Also, on top of Apple Podcasts, you can catch our little bit of unscripted shenanigans at TuneIn, RSS, or basically any kind of podcast aggregator you can think of. And if we're not on there, just give it a few minutes. We'll be on there eventually. But yeah, with that, we're going to go ahead and wind it all down here. Thank you, Chris and Teresa, for joining me on this little endeavor. For all of you out there listening, whether you're a new person who's just discovered us for the first time, or somebody who's been with us since the very earliest shows, which is about, God, it has to be almost 10 years now. If you like what you hear, please do not hesitate to share us with your friends, your family, your casual acquaintances, your mortal enemies, or everyone in between, because there's a possibility they may hate you. But there's also a possibility, like a good 50-50 possibility, that they'll end up liking us. And that sounds like something that'll benefit everybody, I think. I don't do percentages or math or numbers very well. But we'll go ahead and end it here. Join us next week where we will have another bunch of bullshit to talk about. It's only 10 days into 2026, and it already feels like the world is on fire. Again, I'm going to ask, can we have a do-over?
Yeah.
I would very much like a do-over right now. But yeah, we'll end it there. Good night, everybody.